Welcome, y'all. I'm glad to be here. Okay. Sure hope I won't be judged or something like that about it, but I hope you'll enjoy it. Listen, I'm glad to be here. I guess it's been about 4 years ago. Brother Dennis Deneau, the one everybody calls the Bible Man, and he was here. And so I don't know if he was here last year or not, but or the year before, if we had services because of the, you know, what went around our country. So, but anyway, I try to keep in contact with him, and I know the pastor and he are good friends. And so it's a joy to be here. It's a joy to know your pastor, and it truly is. I learned a lot from him. I got his latest book, and if you don't, you need to get it. And so I'm telling you, I for years was taught that you were to stand for the Cambridge King James Bible, and so I believed it, but I didn't know why. And then I got his book. He sent it to me free, and so he wouldn't let me pay him for it. And so I read that. I'm talking about the revision, you know, one. And my, is that thing good? Jam packed with information, and it helped me out. Now I know why. That I believe in the Cambridge King James Bible. So I bought one from Brother Dennis. And so now I finally got one, and I'm with the program. So anyway, well, it's a joy to be here. I appreciate my daughter, my granddaughter coming with me. And my wife initially was, but she's doing better. She went into the hospital, I think. But busy May, that's why she's not here. She's doing better. So so praise God for that. But anyway, they came with me, and here we are. So, all right, I'm going to ask you if you would. Some of this is old hat for you, but that's all right. That's all right. And I want you to turn, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 2 Peter chapter 1. That's where we're going to begin. I appreciate the water up here, so I may have to stop a time or two to make sure that I wet my whistle. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and this is very familiar. You've heard it read and referred to, no doubt, B time. So we're going to look at it in, here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now, I've got a lot of verses, and I'll just go through them as best I can, quick as I can, with the time that I have. I'm thrilled to be here, Brother John. Thank you for the opportunity and be able to meet. I met a couple of your children, and one of them was the best one. I met the best one of the eights. You other seven, y'all, each one of y'all probably the best one. But anyway, I was told that this one is the best one. So what can I say? You lied. I wouldn't know. I just take people at their word and just go on and not worry about it. It's a lot easier that way for me. So, but anyway, it's a joy then being Brother Harold, Brother Cliff, and so I appreciate being able to be here. And thank you all so much here at Black Creek. We appreciate that. All right, 2 Timothy chapter number 3. I want to start for the sake of context, if that's all right. Verse number 14. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3, beginning in verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto good, unto all good works. Now we'll come over there to 2 Peter in just a minute or two. But I want to begin here, and there's a reason, two reasons for it. Number one, three. Here in verse number 15, you have here, you have known the Holy Scriptures. For how long? Since a child. So from a child, Timothy had known the Holy Scriptures. Verse number 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So someone says, well, looking here at the scripture, that's giving reference to what Moses wrote, what David wrote, and what Ezekiel wrote, and Matthew, etc. And for years, sitting in the classes and so-called education, sitting in there, every one of them, without exception, from the professor all the way down to each of the teachers, pastors included, people, the staff, they say that verse, verse number 16, applies to the originals. I've never understood how in the world they can get that it only applies to the original. Because I've looked in here, do y'all see it in there? Only the original scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's not there. And since it is not there, I firmly believe and I submit to you that what he's giving reference to, the old scripture, is found in verse number 15, thou hast known the holy scriptures. And he's known them since childhood, whatever those scriptures were. I don't believe that they were original. They were copy of a copy of a copy. And so they had, but they still had the word of God. I'm very simple. Is this scripture? Yep, that's scripture. Well, all scripture is given inspiration of God. No, all scripture was given the inspiration of God. Well, it doesn't say that. It says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so, you know, I got weird looks from the institutions and things where I've been, and that I contend like that and said, well, other than Bobby Adams, everybody else here understands that this is giving reference to the original autographs that the original Bible writers penned, and I've never understood that only applies there. And I don't get that. I want to show you why. Before we go to 2 Peter, I want to give a reference over here, the book of Job. Job chapter 32, verse number 8. I contend this, Job chapter 32 and verse number 8, that I need inspiration when I pick up my Bible. Now, I don't know about you. Maybe you just, you know, just go there and you don't have a lick of problems. But you know, when I was growing up, I graduated from high school. You laugh, but I did. I graduated from high school. I didn't know the difference between a noun and a verb. You ready to laugh? Go for it. I'm serious. I had no idea. If you'd asked me to define it, I couldn't have done it if you put a knife to my throat or a gun to my head. It wouldn't have mattered because I couldn't have told you what all of that meant. I had no idea what all of this meant. And so if I can pick up this book and the Spirit of God can give me some understanding, I believe he can do the same for you. I do. And I don't believe that you need Greek and Hebrew in order to understand the Word of God. Amen? That's what I believe. All right, Job 32 and verse number 8, the only other time that inspiration for the King James that is found, they seem to miss it. Job 32 and verse 8, the Bible says, but there's a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. I'm not here to define inspiration. I don't know that I could. I'll let Dr. Ashford do that. Whatever it is, I know that it includes three things, and that's what I want to talk to you about here today. All right? All right, and so now here, whatever inspiration is, the inspiration of the Almighty, what does it do? It gives them understanding. I need that when I pick up the Bible. I do. I just do. I need that. I run my references. I run my references. I do that. And I'm sitting here and I'll meditate, you know, and meditate on Scripture. I'll pray about Scripture. I'll read Scripture. My mind starts thinking of the references that use a word in that passage. And so it just runs that way. So that's the reason why I start in the book of Genesis, go to the book of Revelation when I read my Bible. That may not be, that's not because Brother John's got a wonderful system, by the way, that's in that book. And he has gone through there, and as he's gone through there, he has seen patterns that are there to help you to read your Bible and to follow along. I highly recommend that to you. But anyway, I just, from my purposes, I read that through. But I think that system that your pastor has, it just, I don't know that it can be made anywhere. I've never seen anything like it. And I was reading through this last time and I thought, my, look at that. You know, he's right, look at that. And so it's wonderful to have that. So I would submit that would probably be the best way to be able to read it. But wherever you are in your Bible, you need the Spirit of God because the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Now, I gotta go to another passage. I want you to listen to this one. I know that he's used it because I've heard it, your pastor. I've heard him use it before. But I'm going to go to another passage in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. The Bible says here, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to begin I don't have time earlier, but I'm going to begin here at verse 10. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10. But God hath revealed him unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Now there is a spirit of man, Job 32:8. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Now we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. As much wisdom that's in our Bible, that thing doesn't come through man's wisdom. It's wisdom which the Holy Ghost teacheth, right here. And so, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. And how's this thing done? Comparing spiritual with spiritual. That's how it's done. That's how it's done, boys and girls. So that's just the way that I take it. It's very simple. The natural man, verse number 14, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. Why? Because they're spiritually discerned. You need the Holy Ghost. And if you're saved, the Spirit of Christ, when you've come to believe that he died for you, was buried and raised again, then the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in your mortal body. Then you belong to him. The Spirit of God lives on inside of you. So there's a spirit in man, and the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, communicates with that. I can't explain that. I don't understand that. I just know I'm reading along there, and all of a sudden the light goes off. And I get it. And I up and huddle. Look at it. I get it. I understand what he's saying. No, that's not the primary reason I read the Bible. I don't read the Bible just go along the well. I don't read the King James because I can't understand it. Well, I don't read it for understanding. I read it for what does it say? What does the Bible say? What is it? What does the preachers do? What do the preachers do? Thus saith the Lord. Not meaneth, not trying to understand. I believe, though, once you see what it says, it yields.
That's right.
It yields the information that God wants you to be able to see. Now I speak a little quick, all right? So if you'll listen a little quick, and if I slow down a little bit, we'll kind of catch up here in the middle. Now let's go to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Now we've got to accomplish, you know things because you're a spirit. And I'm not going to define that either, okay? Because I have found different preachers look at spirit and soul in different ways, and I don't want to come up here and run my mouth off about something different. I just don't want to do it. Well, you're a chicken. Bok, bok, bok. You got feathers growing. No, I just believe that children of God, when they're sitting under the authority of the ministry of a pastor, that's the way they ought to be. And I'm not here to try to do ruffle feathers or do whatever. And I know that Brother John does all these things, but look, this is all I know. This is all I read and study is my Bible, and God's given me understanding. I go, and what I don't understand, I turn over, on my internet, I turn over there and get on a certain website that we won't name, that's on the board here, and I'll turn there and I'll learn some things, okay? And my latest one, I was reading the book of Romans chapter 5. And in verse number 12, where it was by one man sent into the world, death by man, death came to man, and so death came upon all men for that all have sinned. Verse number 13, it starts out with a parenthesis. That parenthesis does not end until the end of verse number 18. I went, why is that? We wouldn't do that. You wouldn't be allowed in today's English classes to have verses like that, one right after the other. And so I was wondering about that, and I thought about, and Brother John has something on punctuation and parentheses and things of this nature that's there. But I do have one for you. I thought and I thought and I thought, and that is after Acts 21, there's no paragraph or picto, no paragraph marking. So if you enlighten me on that, I'll be happy when I leave here. Okay, I really will. All right, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 21. This verse does not mention inspiration. So I read the passage that does. But this is what I believe is the how of inspiration. What do you mean? This is how God did it. This is how it went about. The Bible says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. Well, 1 Corinthians 2, it's not by the wisdom of man. Here, it's not by the will of man. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, it's not the words of man. So the wisdom and the will and the words is all of God. It is God's word. And I take it to be just that. And he says here, but, notice the contrast, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so I began to look at that and follow that particular thing through. And so I want to give you three thoughts in the time that I have that I believe that inspiration includes. Whatever way you define that. I know in short that God's speaking through men, and I'll leave it alone because other than that, but I believe it includes three things. Number one, transcripting. The transcription or the transcripting of Scripture. Second, I believe it's the translation of Scripture. That is included in there somewhere. I may not have explained that. I may not understand that, but I believe it's there. And then I throw one in that just for fun. And this is one that gives some of my buddies fits. transliteration. And that's in your Bible. Transliterating is Scripture. And it's given by inspiration of God. And I believe that. I can't explain that. So when I look at it, they say, well, Bobby, you ought to have sense enough to know if you've got sense enough to come out of the rain or get you an umbrella if you're going to go back out in it, then you know that no translation is perfect. And I said, well, I got one, and I got one right here. And it's a Cambridge King James Bible, and I appreciate God for that. I appreciate God putting it right out there for somebody. It's a simpleton like myself that I can be able to get it. So it's not very difficult. Holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That is it. I used to think for years that holy men of old wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, but it doesn't say that. So let's begin with the transcribing of Scripture. So whatever it is, it includes transcribing. Now I define this, that transcribing thoughts, speech, or data, information, you take it, it's not in writing, and you put it in writing. You put it in print form, all right? That's the way that I'm going to define that, if that's all right. So I want you to go with me on a couple. You don't have to go through all, but just a couple of them. Let's go to the book of Genesis first for our first one, the book of Genesis. There's over 100 of these, but I'm going to give you about 3 to 5, something like that, that I hope that will be okay for you. And so anyway, that's all they're doing is putting it down. All right. So let's look at it. So what the Scripture says. So in the book of Genesis, let me go to this one. Let's go to Genesis chapter 34. Genesis chapter number 34. All right. Genesis 34. Let's look here in Genesis 34, beginning at verse 20. Genesis 34, verse number 20. All right? Now, these are cases of the transcribing of Scripture. And in some ways, transcribing and translating is, but we'll try to make that. And they overlap, and I know that. All right, in Genesis 34, beginning in verse 20, here, and I don't want to go into all the background. The Bible says in verse 20, and Hamor and Shechem, his son, came into the gate of their city and communed with the men of the city, saying, all right, now they're coming with their Hebrew language, and they're going to communicate with the people here that's named as the Hittites. These men are peaceable with us. Therefore, let them dwell in the land and trade therein for the land. Behold, it's large enough for them. Let us make their daughters to us for wives, and let us give them our daughters. And notice, he says, we'll give them this and that and the other, but there's a small little thing, and it mentions circumcision. And verse number 23, our cattle, our substance, we'll trade, and we'll go on. It's interesting that here, that they able to communicate there a conversation that took place between, as it mentions, Hamor and Shechem, and they are communicating here with Jacob's and his sons, and mentioned back in verse 13, communicating with them, and yet you have that written down in your Bible. Now, as I understand it, Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. Am I right? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, okay? So he writes that. Where did he get that conversation? How did he know that? Well, holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's how God did it. I can't explain that. So I want you to be able to see that one. I want to go to, that's all throughout Genesis. But let me give you one more in the book of Genesis. Chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41. We're going to put all these together. Then I'm going to go to the book of Ezra and close out on this part. All right? Now, there, like I said, there are many, many more of them that's found in this Bible. Genesis chapter 41, look at verse number 55, would you please? Genesis 41 and verse number 55. Now you're in the land of Egypt, and the scripture says, and when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. Now that's the people crying to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph, what he saith to do to you, do. And it goes in different, and goes in, and you can be able to see. There's a conversation. What are you trying to say? That conversation that they had was written down. Transcribing, taking what is spoken and written down. I contend that is the holy. Now it's holy men of old spake as they moved by the Holy Ghost. But it's interesting that those words that were spoken by Pharaoh unto the people, go to Joseph, and Joseph will feed you. You go to him. And yet, I don't know if Joseph knew that. I don't know if the Pharaoh told him, now Joseph, I'm going to send everybody to you. You're the man of the hour. You're in charge of all of the food and everything, all of the distribution. You take care of that. It doesn't matter. It took that conversation and somebody, and I believe that being the Moses, wrote that down, and he wrote it down, but those words were spoken, and then by the Spirit he also took and he wrote them down. Again, I cannot be able to explain that. I want to give you one more in the book of Exodus, and let's go to Ezra to close out on this thought. All right, we'll put them all together here in a minute, because it's real simple. It's just a lot of verses. In the book of Exodus, chapter 4, then we're going to Ezra, so be ready for Ezra, chapter 1. The book of Exodus, chapter 4. Exodus 4, verses 28 and 29. Exodus chapter 4, verses 28 and, make sure I get my verses right. 28 and 29 of Exodus chapter number 4. And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him, and all the signs which he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses. You see, what went on? What is inspiration? Well, whatever it is, God gave him the word, his words. Moses, in turn, took those words and spoke them to Aaron. And now Aaron spake all the words which the Lord spoke to Moses. It's amazing. And here you have it. It is written down, and I think that's interesting. Here's the best, I suppose, about the best way that anybody can look at it. Some people look at inspiration, they say, Bobby, okay, according to you, what do you think inspiration is? Well, it's not according to me, it's according to what the Word of God said. I'm a Bible believer. I believe what the book says. It doesn't mean I know it all, it just means I believe what the book says. And so there were a group of people, and they're asking, how did you do this? Of the how of inspiration. Look at Jeremiah 36 verses 17 and 18. Jeremiah 36 verse 17. This is Baruch. He's the Amathesis. He's the writer of what Jeremiah said. Now watch this. They ask Baruch, saying, tell us, how dost thou write all these words at his mouth? They really answered their own question. How did you write all the words at his mouth? Verse number 18, I can just see Baruch. Then Baruch answered them, he pronounced all these words unto me with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in a book. It's very simple. I mean, can you not, somebody ask, it's almost like asking a dumb question. He spoke the words and I wrote them down. What is inspiration? Holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Jeremiah spoke them. Now, if you read on here and even earlier in this particular chapter, the words of Jeremiah were the words of the Lord because God breathed right through them. God breathed them out. Jeremiah wrote them down. Well, he didn't. Baruch wrote them down. He spoke them and Baruch wrote them down. And so that's inspiration to me. It's transcribing, putting down what is actually said. Now the book of Ezra, and we close out this section. And if I don't finish here in the next 10 minutes or so, that's all right. All right. So the book of Ezra is where I want to go now. And I want to look in chapter 1. Ezra chapter 1. Let's begin at verse number 1. Happiness is knowing where the table of contents are located so you can find the page number. Ezra chapter 1, beginning in verse number 1. Ezra 1:1. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, you see that? Holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so, and here, it's in the land of Persians, and that they're, you remember the Babylonian, then the Medes and the Persians came in. It's during this particular time of captivity. And it says that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he might make a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying. So verse number 2, verse number 3, the things there put in writing, transcribing, writing down what has been spoken. And you and I have a book. And it's a wonderful book that it is. Let's move on to that of translation. Again, there's about 100 examples. So, but I hope with the ones that we gave you, some conversations that were spoken were written down. Remember, back in the book of Genesis, you have it was written down in what language? Well, not written, but it was spoken in the Egyptian language. Pharaoh, he was the Pharaoh of Egypt. He was speaking to his people. His people spoke to him. And then that which was spoken in the Egyptian language was written down. It was written down in a Hebrew Bible. That means what has been transcribed now becomes a translation. Right? Because they're taking and translating it from the Egyptian language, Coptic or whatever it is. It's the Egyptian tongue language. They take that and they write it down in Hebrew. What have you got it written down in? English. English. And so, Bobby, this is just a translation. No translation is perfect. Well, maybe yours is not, but mine is. And so how can you be so sure of that? Holy men of old spake as they're moved by the Holy Ghost. How can you be sure of that? There's a spirit of man, the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. How can you be sure of that? Because you read in the very beginning of your Bible that the former languages diligently compared and they put it down in English. They translated. This is a translation. And all the way through my Bible are translations. What do you mean? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go for translation. I'll just give you one verse. And that's the book of Luke. It's the best one I can give. There's many of those. In the book of Luke, chapter 4, the Lord Jesus goes to the synagogue. We might say he went to church. And he went there and he was given to him the scroll of the book of the prophet Isaiah. He's reading from Isaiah 61. We're not going into all that. I just want you to note something that's there that's written in Luke chapter number 4. I guess it's familiar. I think it is. If it's familiar to me, it's familiar to you because my lack of background in English and things. And so, all right, Luke chapter 4. Let's begin here. It's after the temptations of our Lord. And in verse number 16, Gospel of St. Luke chapter 4, the Bible says in verse 16, and he came, the Lord Jesus, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book. There you go. The book. We're not talking about manuscripts. The book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He stopped where it is in our English text in Isaiah 61, verse 2, at a comma. He stopped there and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Verse number 20, and he closed the book. He's done. And he gave it again to the minister and sat down. The eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were facing on him. Looking at this, I don't know, the stranger, he was brought up there. They're looking at him. Everybody's staring at him. And he sits down and said, this day is the scripture being fulfilled. So this amazing thing, what the Lord Jesus Christ did. This day is this scripture, he called them scripture, fulfilled in your ears. I am the acceptable year of the Lord. In me, you go free. That's the far as the context, but I'm only noting to you that is called that he's called Scripture. What's your point? Under translating, Bob, here's the point. Isaiah wrote in what language? He wrote in Hebrew. The Lord Jesus Christ is standing up and reading it, no doubt reading Hebrew. But here, it was written down in Greek. From one language to another, it is a translation. You mean no translation can be inspired? You mean that no translation can be perfect? If that's the case, then even the originals and all of our Bible is not given by inspiration. Because the Old Testament Hebrew is quoted in the New Testament in Greek, which quoted to us in English in our King James Bible. Therefore, this translation can be given by inspiration. I believe it can be. And then finally, the final thought we have today, and I'm done. Again, we can multiply these, okay? But we're not going to do that. For this, I want you to go to the book of Mark. And the book of Mark, and we'll look at there and see what he's got to say. I want to give you an example as you're turning there to the gospel according to Mark, and I believe it's chapter 5. Be there shortly. You remember the Lord Jesus, all right? I hope you do. I hope you do remember him, and not just remember him in the sense as if he's departed. No, he's alive. He's alive. Amen. And so I hope you know him. But when I say remember, I was just simply the words that he had spoken. Remember when he was on the cross? Recorded in Matthew 27, verse number 46. He's quoting. He is quoting. But it's translating, yes, but it's transliterating. And it's what we move there. And, writing down is usually the way people describe it. The simplest form is to take a word from one language and take, okay, it begins with this letter, and then in our language it's equivalent to this language. And if it begins with the first letter, in Greek and alpha, then in English it's A. So we put A for A and B for B and on and on and on, transliterating, writing those down. So the Lord Jesus says what? Kind of difficult to say, but it's Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. But in Mark's account, it's Eloi, Eloi, the plural form. And people go, mistakes, mistakes, mistakes in your Bible. No, there's no mistake except the mistake between your ears. There's a mistake there that it's lost in translation. You're getting them confused. And I'm saying that this is transliterating from Aramaic, taking one letter from that and corresponding into another language and writing that down. You and I've got it here. And so it's whether they're both correct, whether it's Eli or Eloi, they are both correct. None of them are missing. They're coming from two different people. They're saying about the same thing. So there is no mistake in there. But what I want you to notice, I just want to get your attention on that, is here and in the book of Exodus, I'm talking about the book of Mark, and I want you to notice, I suppose, look at Mark 5 verse number 41. We got to hurry and close. Mark 5 verse number 41, and the Bible says in Mark 5:41, and he took the damsel by the hand, the Lord Jesus, and said unto her, Talitha kumi. Now that's transliterating. That's Aramaic, taking one letter and putting it over in the language that the Lord Jesus was, what they were speaking, what they were saying, and which is being interpreted. And that's why you see throughout your Bible, which being interpreted, it's coming over from that particular language to explain it to his audience. And what does that Talitha kumi mean, which is being interpreted? Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And so there you have it. And in Aramaic, and it's transliterated. There is absolutely no errors whatsoever. And so I don't know what you think about. I guess that I wish we had more examples we can give you. I hope it's not confusing to you. But whatever inspiration is, you transcribe, you write down what's been spoken. All right? Then it was translated, and it's translated in the Hebrew Bible. That's a translation. When the New Testament, when they quote the Old Testament, that's a translation. All right? They're translating. That can be given by inspiration. If it's not, then there's errors even in the original.
That's right.
Okay? There's errors there. And if there's errors there, then there's errors here. So my question would be, why are you here? Why am I here? Why would you have a meeting every year? Why would you do that if you've got a book that's written with errors? I'm glad that I read from a Bible that that the Spirit of God takes and gives me inspiration. The Almighty does that, and I see exactly what He's saying. How can it change you when you're on dope and all of a sudden you're not anymore? The power of God has come in. You're lost and dead in sins, but you're no longer dead, you're alive. Imagine being saved and delivered at the same time by a dead book. You can't do that. This is alive. You read your Bible in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 4. All things are naked. No, verse number 12, where the Word of God is alive. It's quickened. It makes alive. I'm glad that it's done a work in mine. That the Word of God, it's not dead. It, Hebrew may be dead. Greek may be dead. But this is not dead. Amen. It is alive. It is alive. And I'm going to close with an illustration. Very simple. And I'm done. And then you may have heard this, I don't know. But so this had taken place here, from what I understand, here in the state of New York. And fella had a hat. He was standing on the street corner and sidewalk, whatever, and he put his hat down there. And he kept hollering, "It's alive, it's alive, it's alive." Finally got him a crowd there. And people again, look at that hat, live. What the man, is he a kook? What's wrong with this guy? Taking leave of his senses. What in the world? What do you mean it's alive? What's alive? And finally goes over there, picks up his hat, and there's a King James Bible in there. And he said, "Why, the Word of God and nothing else. It's alive." And I thank God that the Word of God is alive. And because if it wasn't, faith coming by hearing, and hearing how? By the Word of God. That's it, Pastor. Thank you.
Amen. Oh, take a break.